Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato. Yet again, just like yesterday, I am still in Oklahoma City. Joe is still in Los Angeles after the Thunder's 112-107 loss to the Lakers, again in the Staples Center, right after a different close loss to the Clippers. So we got back-to-back competitive games in Los Angeles, which, considering how good these teams have been so far, probably, I mean, if we're talking moral victories, probably a good thing for the Thunder that they were able to hang in there for both of them. But they still have not had a road win. So that's where we're at.
That's where they're at. I mean, I think that is, both games were competitive. They lost the LA back-to-back, which has been really tough for teams this season. I looked into it, and their Thunder are the fourth team, I think, to do this. Two teams, the Hornets and I'm blanking now, so I'm just going to go over it. But basically, two teams were 0-4. The Raptors went 1-1. And the Thunder has the same LA back-to-back in April. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, this one felt different to me than the Clippers loss. Like, the Clippers game seemed like one that the Thunder actually had a chance to win. This one, even when it seemed close, like, I felt like the Lakers were in control almost the entire game.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it lacked drama tonight, I thought.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is astonishing that the Thunder was only trailing by, what, 10 at halftime?
I mean, every, like, main stat, like points in the paint, points in transition, like the points off turnovers was like 20-2 in favor of the Lakers. Like, everything was going against the Thunder. And I'm like, the math doesn't add up. Like, how does the scoreboard say what it does? Because, like, the Lakers were just totally in control.
Yeah, I mean, okay, you mentioned those points off turnovers. I just tweeted out the final stats on that. The Lakers scored 27 points off turnovers. I believe it was 18 in the first half. And the Thunder only scores 11 when both teams committed 16 turnovers. So it was one of those things where, God, LeBron and AD were so good in transition. And the back-to-back turnovers by Schroeder really summed it up, because it was almost identical. And he actually had a really good offensive game other than the turnovers. We'll get to that. But he comes down and tries to pass to SGA, and immediately AD knows what he's doing, jumps in front of SGA, grabs the interception, and then gets it to LeBron, who then scores in transition. And then they essentially just flop roles and do the exact same thing on the very next play. And it really just felt like, no matter what the Thunder did, if they messed up even a little bit, the Lakers were going to 100% take advantage of that. And that happened with the turnovers. And then that also happened with missed shots, where they were getting out in transition, and that LeBron Anthony Davis two-man game was terrifying. And they were just making sure that that the Thunder paid for every single mistake, even if it was just a missed shot. And the Thunder wasn't doing that.
Yeah, I'm not sure LeBron, and I'm saying this in all seriousness, I don't know if he attempted a jump shot in the first half. Like, all of his points, it seemed, were at the rim, and many of them, like you mentioned, came on transition. That sequence, like, it stood out. Like, they're so long. Anthony Davis, who, you know, should be playing the five, is the four with either Dwight Howard or JaVale McGee on the floor. And, like, there's no passing lanes. Everything is shut off. Like, the Thunder starters really struggled against the Lakers starters. And I think where the Thunder sort of chipped away is the bench, but like when that main Lakers five was in, there was just no room for anything, and like LeBron was unstoppable in transition. I actually thought they defended him well in the half court. Like when things slowed down, you know, Terrence Ferguson, Deontay Burton, they did a good job against him, even Chris Paul late in the game. But he is a freight train in transition and cannot be stopped. And I thought that set the tone in the first half. And he was able to conserve some of his energy because he wasn't working really hard because all of his points were so easy. And then I thought he had the energy to just close it down in the fourth.
Yeah, no, I mean, like you mentioned, you had four. The majority of the game, you had Terrence Ferguson again with a really tough matchup because he had just finished guarding Paul George and Lou Williams, like we talked about on the previous podcast. If you missed that, since it's been a back-to-back, go back and listen to it, and you can get more on how he did there. But another tough matchup and was super solid. I mean, obviously... the Lakers have a height advantage. We thought the 76ers were big. Lakers are even more so, especially with when LeBron's running the, like, playing point forward, essentially. It's like, oh my gosh, like, everywhere you turn.
How about that, like, a potential finals matchup, Lakers-Sixers, and you've got Ben Simmons and LeBron, who are both, like, the size of power forwards playing point guard
just
against each other.
Massive. Yeah, they're like almost like the Knicks have gobbled up like every single free agent power forward, but the Lakers are close on their number of power forwards playing in different positions. They're like some obviously a way better version than the Knicks, but man, they're big. But yeah, I mean, so you have. Obviously, LeBron has the size advantage on Terrence Ferguson and especially Chris Paul and Deontay Burton. Deontay Burton's not that tall. He's just more solid. But they did a really good job staying in front of him. You had really early on, Chris Paul was able to turn LeBron over in the post, I believe.
Yeah, LeBron was backing him down, and Paul just poked it out, I think.
Yeah, and then he turned the ball over late in the game, too. So a really valiant effort from those guys. Half-court offense, but yeah, absolutely. The Lakers were absolutely dominant in transition, and that's where they won this game.
Yeah, I want to talk about Burton a little bit more. He's probably a guy I'm going to be writing about for tomorrow, just because, like, okay, like the Thunder are almost getting to the point where we don't always have to, like, you know, recount the play-by-play of the games, because some of these results are just going to be a string of losses, and like it's sort of fun to like dive deep on one particular player or one thing interesting. And I thought Deontay Burton was really interesting today. He only played, I think, like 11 minutes, but he played from the 9-minute mark basically to the 3-minute mark in the fourth quarter, so crunch time, and he was LeBron James's primary defender. Yeah. And when he was guarding LeBron, LeBron was 0-4 with a turnover. And I know that's a small sample size, but like these weren't just like open misses. Like LeBron was like throwing up fadeaways that barely touched the rim. Like he was frustrated. He tried to get Burton once on the rip move. No whistle was blown, and it missed everything. And I thought it was interesting because, like, Terrence Ferguson, I thought he was, you know, Billy basically said he was wearing down. Like, he had just guarded Lou Williams and Paul George the night before. He had just battled LeBron for the whole, basically, first one through three quarters. And they needed a bigger-bodied guy. Like, Terrence Ferguson is still skinny. You know, most people are compared to LeBron, but like the Thunder don't have like bulky wings like Paul George anymore. So Deontay Burton is one answer to that question. And I think it'll be interesting to see like if they turn to him, you know, as a defensive stopper in some of these matchups when they're undersized on the wing.
Yeah, that fourth quarter started with Abdul Nader on LeBron, and then for probably, it turns out to be the majority of the fourth quarter, Deonte Burton was on him, and then at the very end, you had Chris Paul on him, and
yeah,
like I said, he got another steal. I think he had four steals tonight. At least that was his fourth. So fourth quarter, yeah,
I mean,
was
LeBron turned it over seven times.
Yeah, that's, I mean, if you're gonna,
and he had a triple double.
quadruple double,
even it's like, you know, they contained him in the half court. He still had a triple double. Became the first player in NBA history to record a triple double against every team. And let's just say Russell Westbrook won't be far behind. The Thunder is the only team.
I know, he was close.
Yeah, he was really close.
He was what, like a rebound away or something like that.
Yeah, I think he was one away. So that will come soon, but fun bit of history. But man, that duo, LeBron, Anthony Davis. Davis was incredible. I thought yeah, LeBron basically deferred to Anthony Davis for much of the game. Davis 13-24, 3-5 from 3, 34 points. He is just a monster. And like, sure, no one has anyone to guard LeBron. The Thunder sure don't. But like, Anthony Davis was just—he was such a mismatch. Like, I don't know. You know, Steven Adams and Nerlens Noel tried their best, but he's just way more athletic than those guys.
Yeah, and he's a huge reason why LeBron is leading the league. At least going in tonight, was leading the league in assists. Like, if you're throwing it to Anthony Davis, got a pretty good chance of getting an assist there. And you know, obviously LeBron has facilitating skills. Like, I'm not saying that's just Anthony Davis, but it doesn't hurt having him on the other end there. But yeah, I mean, I thought Nerlens Noel had a good game. He defended AD when he could, and had three steals too. Like, the Thunder, how many steals did they have total? They had 10 steals. Like, I guess the Lakers had 9, but like, I mean, the turnovers were even. The Thunder just wasn't able to capitalize. And they shot way better. That's not saying much, but they shot way better than they did the night before when they shot terribly. So we're able to fix some of that.
They got to the free throw line again, too. 22 of 25.
Mm-hmm.
And that made up some of the deficit.
And after that first quarter, took care of the ball better. But They're just straight up outmatched.
Yeah, and just to go back to Nerlens Noel a little bit, and one of the things that stood out about what the Thunder did late in the game there, with like Nerlens Noel closed the game for the Thunder. It wasn't Steven Adams, and found out after the game that Steven Adams maybe is on a minutes restriction. We had no inkling of that before this game.
Well, and Billy Donovan Billy Donovan straight up said he's not on a minutes restriction, but he's still dealing with that knee contusion, and so we're essentially, he like basically said, so we're watching his minutes.
I know, and he said that like that had been the case since Adams last missed a game, but like, I hadn't noticed Adams not being on the floor to close the game. Maybe they staggered his minutes better to where he was fresh late in the game. I don't know. It could also be Billy defending his player and thinking that Nerlens had the better matchup against Anthony Davis. And tonight, I thought Nerlens was better than Steven Adams. So maybe that was part of it as well. But we'll continue to watch this left knee thing. And I don't know, maybe him, you know, he played on the back-to-back tonight, which he hadn't done previously with the knee contusion. So we'll see if they rest him at all going forward.
Yeah, I mean, Nerlens was, I mean, those quick feet really help with a guy like Anthony Davis, who's not, who refuses to just be a center. Because he has such a wide skill set. And so he, I don't know, wants to show that off. But so looking at Steven Adams' minutes,
they are down this year by quite a bit.
Well, he played So he had, let's see, he was out against Milwaukee and then played 19 and then 31 against Philadelphia and then 27 last night and what, 25 or something like that tonight?
Yeah, 24 tonight.
24.
And you know, if you look at his minutes per game this year, they're well down from last year, which the knee contusion has something to do with. But you know, no one's really playing huge minutes. Shea continues to lead them in minutes played. But other than that, I think, you know, Billy is making an effort to keep Steven Adams rested.
Yeah, and he, I mean, we've said it before on this podcast, he kind of sputtered out. Does that mean anything? I just make that up.
No, I think you got it. Even in this late hour, you have a command of the language.
Oh, I'm losing it. It's 2 a.m. in Oklahoma City as we're recording this. Those darn 9:30 games. But yeah, I mean, he struggled after the All-Star break last year, and he's never going to complain about injuries, but you do wonder, like, he played a lot, and he's a very physical player, and was he maybe just worn out by the end of the year? I don't know. He's not, and he, even if that was true, I don't think he'd say he was, but I wonder if that is going into, I mean, in addition to the knee contusion, but just overall the Thunder trying to maybe save a little of that energy for the end of the season. And they've been doing that overall with fewer shoot-arounds than we're used to. Obviously, they didn't have any shoot-arounds with the back-to-back, but they've been canceling shoot-arounds more than they did last year, for sure. And I don't know if canceling is the right word, just not scheduling them.
Yeah, I mean, there is an incentive to play guys like Terrence Ferguson, SGA, you know, Hamidou Diallo when he's healthy, some of these guys more. But, like, they know who Steven Adams is, and this is a team that's not competing, you know, very, very outside shot to fight for the eighth seed. So, like, what's the point of playing Steven Adams 34 minutes, you know?
Right.
Especially if he's dealing with a knee injury. Right.
Yeah. So...
One more thing from this game before we.
Oh, I was gonna mention other injuries.
Oh, other injuries. Hamidou Diallo. Yeah. Is that who you're gonna mention?
Yep. Take it away. What did Billy say about Hami? He did not play tonight.
He did not play tonight. He told us yesterday that Diallo would be. He said yesterday that Diallo would be reevaluated. So that was Monday. Today, asked him about Diallo being reevaluated, and he basically said, well, we didn't learn much because we didn't practice today. And then he said that he'll be reevaluated in Oklahoma City. So, you know, we'll have an update sometime in the coming days before the Friday night game against the Lakers. But, like, Diallo was working up a pretty good sweat in pregame, was out there working out with coaches, so like it's not like he's like walking on crutches or anything like right. that. Like he seems to be healthy. They're just being cautious.
Well, reevaluated is such a funny term too, because
it sounds more serious to me than like the scenes.
Well, and in general, that's a way for teams to be like, yo, don't ask me about him for the next 3 months. Like he's certainly not, you know, for example, mm-hmm. he's certainly not gonna be playing for that long. But I mean, as we've seen with Andre Robertson, they literally, like, they're talking to these guys every day. It's not like they ignore him and then on, you know, whatever date they're like, hey, this happened with Andre last year where they set a reevaluation date for however many weeks and everyone was, you know, chomping at the bit for that exact date, and then we get there and it's like, yep, we still don't know. it's not like anything's actually changed on that reevaluation. Like there's not like Sometimes if they're dealing with specialists and stuff, it like it could be an appointment with a specialist, but often it's just a catch-all phrase for like, hey, nothing's gonna majorly change between now and this time. But that's obviously not the case when you're like when you're saying tomorrow. But it sounds like he's close.
I don't want to guess about injuries, but I'll guess about this injury. And I'd be surprised if he didn't play Friday, just the way he was moving around, working out before the game. Like, it again, this is not something just by using my eyes and seeing him work out. Like, I don't think it's something they're worried about.
Yeah, and Billy Donovan said from the beginning that he doesn't think it's serious, that he doesn't think it's something where he'll sit out for a prolonged period of time. It's, I mean, like we just said, it's November. There's no reason to rush anybody back. And honestly, by the time we hit the spring, there still won't be any reason because they're not, I mean, unless something...
No, but he's a guy that they want to play big minutes just to see if he's a true rotational player.
Yeah, but not, but also someone they definitely don't want to injure. You know, like they're never going to rush. I mean, not that they would ever rush anyone back from injury, but there's no situation where they're like, oh my gosh, we have to get this guy back for, you know, X amount of games before the playoffs so that he'll be ready. Like, that's just not a thing this year.
No, it's not a thing. I think we've, I think it's a non-issue. The other thing that stood out from this game, it was a combination. Dennis Schroeder, besides turning the ball over way too much, was excellent offensively.
Oh yeah, we barely, we haven't really talked about him.
He was 12 of 20, 3 of 7 from 3. He had 31 points. He had 31 points early in the third quarter. He got stuck on that number. 32 was his Thunder high. 41 was his career high. So at one point I thought he had a chance to get there, but then he really slowed down. But it was like I said at the beginning, the Thunder bench really propped up the starters. Four of the five starters basically didn't contribute offensively. Like Terrence Ferguson, 1 of 7. Steven Adams, 1 of 3. Chris Paul, 1 of 7. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 5 of 16. That's four starters who did not at all shoot the ball well. So Dennis Schroeder, they needed 31 points from him. They needed 15 points from Nerlens Noel. That's 46 combined off the bench to keep him in it.
Yeah, and it was really interesting hearing Chris Paul talk about him post game. We got a little bit of that on TV. And he mentioned, like, Chris Paul said, someone asked him about the bench points, and he was like, I think that's mostly because of Dennis, because he scored 30 something points. And then he, like, little throwaway line at the end, he was like, maybe if I would have done something, then we would have been in better shape, essentially. Like, yeah, he had a...
Chris Paul was very over this game. He was ready to go home. I think the whole team was. It was just... They were competitive in both, but it's a tough... I mean, it's probably the hardest back-to-back you can have. The only thing that makes it easy is that you're sleeping in the same hotel and not traveling anywhere between games, like some road back-to-backs. But facing arguably the two best teams in the Western Conference, not so easy.
Yeah, brutal. And, I mean, once Kawhi gets back, too, like, you face Kawhi Leonard and Paul George one night and then Anthony Davis and LeBron James the next, or vice versa.
Yeah, it's like four of the top 12, four of the top 15 players in the league in two nights.
Brutal.
That's brutal.
Absolutely brutal. So, like we mentioned, the top, Thunder still
also
winless
brutal
on the road. You wrote a little bit about this pregame, and then they extended that losing streak tonight. But what do you attribute that to?
Just bad offense. Like, you know, they're not a great offensive team at home, but they're at least middle of the road. And on the road, middle of the road, that's not a good descriptor because that just only adds confusion. They're middle of the pack, but on the road, offensively, I think only Memphis and Orlando have worse offensive net ratings on the road. Their 3-point shooting's way down. Their field goal percentage is way down. Their turnovers are up. Like, you can basically any offensive stat you want to throw out, they haven't been as good on the road. 0-6. Now, part of this is they face some really, really, really good teams on the road. Yeah. I mean, you know, Utah, Houston, both these LA teams. San Antonio is the only road loss to a team with the losing record. The Spurs, at least coming into today, were 5-9. But that's still a place the Thunder hasn't won much historically. So quality of opponent, I think, has a ton to do with it. But also, the offense doesn't seem to be traveling well.
Yeah, and it's a lot of it, too, is, I mean, yes, they're playing some really good defensive teams. Clippers, for example.
Mm-hmm. And Lakers.
Yeah. Yeah. My gosh. The longest defensive team ever. I'm just trying to like imagine Anthony Davis and LeBron James's wingspans combined. Like, that's got to be halfway across the court, not further. But a lot of it also is just shots not falling, like inexplicably not falling, like last night.
Yeah, and yeah, they did not shoot the ball well today. They shot 32% from three, not good. 48% from the floor, that's not bad. It's just that, like, especially in crunch time, it's hard to imagine, like, who can win the game for them, like against the Clippers, against the Lakers. Like, Gallinari had a big shot, could have done it last night. Tonight they never really got there, never really had a chance, even though it was close. It's just, I think it's the product of a young team playing good teams and still trying to find their way offensively, and that's not a good recipe to win on the road. Orlando is the, I should know this, but I don't know if Orlando played a road game tonight. And if they did, I don't know if they won or lost. But Orlando coming into the day was the only other team without a road win.
Brutal. I think when you're talking about that guy, it's got to be Chris Paul at this point who takes over the game down the stretch. Eventually, I'm sure the Thunder would love for it to be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but he's had moments, but we haven't really seen him. I mean, we've seen him, you know, preseason early on having like really big scoring, really high scoring games, but not so much the like, all right, I'm going to take this game, put it on my shoulders, will us into a win, which like LeBron James does better than anyone, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah. And this, you brought up an interesting point because I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I asked Billy about this after the game. Like, when Shai does not have a shot, which he did not tonight, 5 of 16, like, what other ways do you want to see him develop? Like, how else can he influence the game when he's not shooting the ball well? Because he hasn't had high assist numbers this season, but Billy was pretty complimentary of how he managed the offense tonight. But I think, like, Billy said he was basically afraid that this would happen. Like, he had all these big scoring games early on, but that shouldn't overshadow like what else he needs to do offensively, not to even mention defensively, to improve. So like, I don't know, like Shai set kind of an unachievable standard early on, and like his scoring has dipped recently, so it'll be interesting to like follow that development, is, you know, as they still try to like figure out where he best fits into the offense.
Yeah, I mean, and so he had 4 assists tonight, 5 rebounds, and you know, that's nothing compared to Chris Paul's 10 assists, but it is up from the beginning of the season where he legitimately was just scoring. And so yeah. The Thunder's definitely put an emphasis on getting those other parts of the box score up. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. It's still so new with this team. And I mean, they went back to that. I honestly, even with the amount that Terrence Ferguson played against, you know, matched up against really impressive offensive guys and understandably probably got worn down, I almost expected Billy Donovan to close with him because he had talked about essentially regretting not closing with him the night before, but he didn't. He went back to that 3-point guard lineup again. So they are going to that to close games. And it's a weird thing to have so many point guards, so many facilitators on the court, but they seem to like it in high pressure situations. And I think part of that is that you obviously want Chris Paul on the floor. Dennis Schroeder has been really consistent for the Thunder this year. He didn't have a great game. He didn't have a good game yesterday. But other than that, like, that's probably the one spot after the first couple games that you can point to and be like, oh, that wasn't his best. But other than that, he's been very consistent. And then you obviously want Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to have that experience of closing games and being in high pressure situations, and he's a fantastic player and a great scorer. And so it's like, out of those guys, who do you take off in order to have that Terrence Ferguson defensive presence? And I think last night the answer would have been Dennis, but yeah, it's, but not tonight.
I'm not sure that 3-point guard lineup is their best bet to close games, like, because they largely don't go to it throughout the whole game, and then they closed with it tonight, and it's like you have a new group on the floor, and we talked about Terrence Ferguson and Deontay Burton.
Did you hear Stewart making his season debut?
That's the kind of noise that we need dogs make me happy, and it's been a long day. Thank you, Stuart.
He's a cheeky little fella. He knows that he's not allowed on the bed, but he saw me setting up the podcast equipment and halfway through jumped up on the bed because he knew I couldn't yell at him while we were on the pod. And so he's been sleeping on my bed for the last like 20 minutes while I couldn't do anything. I like gave him the side eye and he just stared back at me.
He's probably upset that I'm starting his sleep at like 2:20 a.m.
Probably. we'll wrap up for his sake. Hear that, Stu?
Yes.
You're so spoiled.
You're welcome,
Stuart.
I love you.
All right. Sorry. Finish your thought, and then we can.
I don't know. 3-point guards. I think that's something we'll write about soon. Just like how that lineup is actually faring, what works best. Yes, everything like that.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Cool. Works for me. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to tonight's Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, subscribe, share it with your friends, your neighbors, your pets, your enemies, your family, nuclear and extended. And we will see you on Friday, right? Yes, Friday. Again, the Los Angeles Lakers back in Oklahoma City. So yeah, tune in for more AD and LeBron talk because I'm sure those two, as long as they're on the floor, are going to make large impacts on this game. And we'll see you then.